Hi, I'm Heather Bruschetti. I am the President and CEO of the Business Council of New York State. And we've had the privilege of hosting here today a roundtable with members of the business community and Congressman Chris Gibson, and also some very senior folks from the United States Chamber to talk about healthcare. And first and foremost, I want to thank Congressman Gibson for his leadership, his candor, and also for a comment that he made that is very important to us, and that is having a respect for people who don't necessarily agree with you all the time. We actually do agree with Congressman Gibson almost all the time, as does the U.S. Chamber. And so with that, I'm going to introduce Ron Eichhag from the United States Chamber of Commerce. He is the Vice President of the U.S. Chamber's Congressional and Public Affairs. He's been with the Chamber for 15 years and manages the Chamber's team of full-time lobbyists. He's also a native New Yorker who worked for Governor Pataki's environmental policy team and is also a graduate of SUNY Albany. So with that, I will introduce Ron.
It's always good to take any excuse to get back to my former home city. And it's also very, very exciting to see so many friendly faces. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce values our relationship and our partnership with the Business Council of New York State and the other chambers that are here today. We have a very strong working relationship and working partnership that we think is very, very important. So thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. And also thank you, Congressman. We actually know how often we agree with you because of our scorecard and the award that we are presenting you today. You agreed with us 83% of the time last year, so something must be going right. You have a lifetime rating of 89% with us. So again, it's very, very good. We were talking a little bit earlier on issues about transportation last year, about trade, on issues where you were a leader on issues important to the business community, growing the economy, growing jobs. Those are very important. We look very, very important. We look very, very forward to working with you in the weeks, months, and years ahead, certainly on issues like tax reform that's coming up, and certainly on issues like immigration reform that are coming up. So on behalf of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, I am very pleased to present to you the Spirit of Enterprise Award.
Thank you. Ron, thank you, and Heather, this has been a productive session. I appreciate the time to sit and listen to your concerns, to have a dialogue. You know, as somebody who came from a working class family, and the challenges that came with that in the 1970s, you know, growing this economy so that every American gets a shot at the American dream, that is job number one. We need to work together, not only in the United States Congress, but with our colleagues at the state level, at the county, the town, at certainly the business community, and that's why I very much appreciate this opportunity to dialogue in our public-private partnerships. This is the real focus for our work, and that is to have this kind of opportunity by growing the economy. I had mentioned during the session that you know, among the frustrations I have is I think the parties talk past one another when it comes to this issue. Everybody agrees we need to grow jobs. You often hear the Democrats, they'll talk about all demand side issues. And then you'll hear Republicans, they'll talk about all supply side issues. And my read of history, it's both. You know, this is, you know, we need to have a thoughtful approach that recognizes we need to change the underlying business environment. And we talked in our session about the impediments to growth. And we talked about the need for tax reform, regulatory relief and reform, driving down healthcare costs and business costs. Those are the impediments to growth, those four variables. But then also, we do have a demand-side requirement. We need to make investments. We need the world's best infrastructure, roads and bridges. We also need the world's best educational system. And it's important that that look in every aspect, including the career and technical. Even in an economy of 7.4% unemployment, we have over 3 million jobs unfilled, in part because we still have some requirements in terms of preparation for those to fill those jobs. And then finally, that sixth variable, capital and markets. We need access to credit for our entrepreneurs, and we need trade agreements that provide for a level playing field for our folks who are manufacturers. And so these are the efforts that I support in the Congress, these six issue areas, I believe that if we make a positive difference in those areas, we will grow. And when we grow, not only will we have a chance for Americans to live to their God-given potential, but also that will help us continue on the path back to a balanced budget. We've made significant progress on that score. In my last year in the Army, in 2010, the deficit for our country was almost $1.5 trillion. And this year, it's still too high, but the CBO assesses that it's going to come in about $650 billion. We've cut the deficit by over half. We need to continue to grow this economy, move back to a balanced budget, and why that's so important is so that future generations get the same choices and freedoms that we've had. So this is why you know, it's very important for me to dialogue with our leaders in the business community, to not only listen to our leaders in the business community, but also their employees. Because I learned this a long time ago. You know, some of the best ideas I had as a commander came from privates, those individuals executing the mission and had some direct impacts. And so when I appreciate the fact that when I get out to small businesses and to any business, that I get an opportunity to interact with the employees as well, so I can hear feedback from them. I think we got to do this together. So, you know, getting this award here today means a lot to me because it's a validation that the number one priority for all of us, which is to grow jobs, that we're hitting the mark. And we're going to continue to do that. That's my pledge to you, that we're going to continue to work together because we don't accept that the current status is where we should be. We know we can do better, that we can grow jobs, we can do better on this. We have the world's strongest economy, and we expect our best days are still in front of us. At this point, I'll pause for any questions you have. And initially, if we can make them just about the economy, and then if you want to go off topic, we can do that as well.
Is there any prospects for dealing with the sequester? I mean, we're continuing to hear about the impact of the sequester on all sorts of different...
That's right. I hope so. I certainly have been working towards that. I voted for a bipartisan budget that would have replaced the sequester. Unfortunately, we did not get enough votes to get that enacted. But I continue to work with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to see the merit in getting a pro-growth, fiscally responsible replacement for the sequester. Look, I mean, when you take a look at the details here, last year our expenditures at the federal level were about $3.5 trillion. About $1.43 trillion of that came from discretionary spending. The balance of that came in the mandatory spending side. So when we talk about making the choices necessary to be on a firm fiscal footing, you know, we've got to look at our entirety of the federal budget. I would also tell you that bills such as the Farm Bill, which has been scored to save $40 billion in mandatory spending, that can be part of this solution. You know, I've talked about this before, how important it is to pass a Farm Bill. It's really important because of the policy reforms. It's important for rural America. It's important for upstate New York. But it's also important for the taxpayer because as of right now, we send checks to farmers to do nothing. How crazy is that? We've got to stop doing that. And in this draft of the Farm Bill, we stopped doing that. We saved the taxpayer dollars. So for a variety of reasons, I believe we need to enact this Farm Bill this year. And that can be part of an overarching discussion that saves us money on the mandatory spending side and allows us to get a replacement for the sequester. Because, you know, these investments we made, I mentioned that was variable number five for growing the economy. We have important investments we need to make in terms of roads and bridges. I'm talking about infrastructure broadly defined, beyond just roads and bridges, but also education. How important it is to make those investments to ensure we continue. I'm so incredibly proud of the BOCES programs that we have here in New York State, the Questar BOCES programs, but they're under pressure because of the sequester. Head Start and important programs such as these, we need to continue to support them. So we're going to be working with colleagues to get a replacement.